When the second F day of his married life came round, Big Kells took Tim with him to the house that now belonged to Baldy Anderson, Tree's other big farmer. They went in Kells's wood wagon. The mules stepped lightly with no rounds or strakes of ironwood to haul. Today, there were only a few little piles of sawdust in the back of the wagon. And that lingering, sweet-sour smell, of course, the smell of the deep woods. Kells's old place looked sad and abandoned with its shutters closed and the tall, unscythed grass growing up to the splintery porch slats. "Once I get my gunna out in it, let Baldy take it all for kindling, do it please him," Kells grunted. "Fine with me." As it turned out, there were only two things he wanted from the house, a dirty old footrest and a large leather trunk with straps and a brass lock. This was in the bedroom, and Kells stroked it as if it were a pet. "Can't leave this," he said. "Never this. 'Twas my father's." Tim helped him get it outside, but Kells had to do most of the work. The trunk was very heavy. When it was in the wagon bed, Big Kells leaned over with his hands on the knees of his newly and neatly mended trousers. At last, when the purple patches began to fade from his cheeks, he stroked the trunk again, and with a gentleness Tim had as yet not seen applied to his mother. "All I own, stowed in one trunk. As for the house, did Baldy pay the price I should have had?" He looked at Tim challengingly, as if expecting an argument on this subject. "I don't know," Tim said cautiously. "Folks say Cy Anderson's close." Kells laughed harshly. "Close? Close? Tight as a virgin's coochie is what he is. Nar, nar. I got crumbs instead of a slice, for he knew I couldn't afford to wait. Help me tie up this tailboard, boy, and be not slugginly." Tim was not slugginly. He had his side of the tailboard roped tight before Kells had finished tying his in a sloppy ollie knot that would have made his father laugh. When he was finally done, Big Kells gave his trunk another of those queerly affectionate caresses. "All in here now. All I have. Old Baldy knew I had to have silver before wide earth, didn't he? Old you-know-who is coming, and he'll have his hand out." He spat between his old scuffed boots. "This is all your ma's fault." "Ma's fault? Why? Didn't you want to marry her?" "Watch your mouth, boy." Kells looked down, seemed surprised to see a fist where his hand had been, and opened his fingers. "You're too young to understand. When you're older, you'll find out how women can get the good of a man. Let's go on back." Halfway to the driving seat, he stopped and looked across the stowed trunk at the boy. "I love your ma, and that's enough for you to be going on with." And as the mules trotted up the village high street, Big Kells sighed and added, "I loved your da, too. And how I miss him. 'Tain't the same without him beside me in the woods or seeing Misty and Bitsy up the trail ahead of me." At this, Tim's heart opened a little to the big, slump-shouldered man with the reins in his hands, in spite of himself, really. But before the feeling had any chance to grow, Big Kells spoke again. "You've had enough of books and numbers and that weirdy smack woman. She with her veils and shakes, how she manages to wipe her arse after she shits is more than I'll ever know." Tim's heart seemed to clap shut in his chest. He loved learning things, and he loved the widow smack, veil, shakes, and all. It dismayed him to hear her spoken of with such crude cruelty. "What would I do then? Go into the woods with you?" He could see himself on Da's wagon, behind Misty and Bitsy. That would not be so bad. No, not so bad at all. Kells barked a laugh. "You in the woods and not yet 12? "I'll be 12 next month." "You won't be big enough to lumber on the ironwood trail at twice that age, for you take after your ma's side of things and will be small Ross all your life." That bark of laughter again. Tim felt his face grow hot at the sound of it.
No, lad, I've spoken a place for you at the sawmill. You ain't too small to stack boards. You'll start after harvest done and before first snow.
What does Mama say? Tim tried to keep the dismay out of his voice and failed.
She don't get I, no, or maybe in the matter. I'm her husband, and that makes me the one to decide.
He snapped the reins across the backs of the plodding mules.
Hop!